there are a lot of crossovers. You guys are both voice actors. You're both funny. You both have struggled with food. Talk about it, you two.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my good. Hey, you guys. Hey, how's your day going?
Yeah.
Okay, it's doing good.
Really well.
Because here at Tea Time, we're excited to be back in your eye holes.
Mm-hmm. In your good graces.
In your eye holes.
And...
Oh, and your ear holes.
Great that production, part. No. Great production.
Yes, absolutely. Eye holes, ear holes. Don't put us in your nose holes.
Welcome to Tea Time with me, Raven.
And me, Miranda.
And today?
On the podcast. Should we just do every other word the entire time, babe?
We
have
a
guest.
Great.
Great. Great guest.
We have a great guest today. I know him, actually. I don't know if you guys know that I know him, but I know him not because he actually infiltrates my ear holes on different movies like Trolls or Inside Out or Ariel or even Harley Quinn. But
or
because,
Get Hard.
Well, we're lesbians, so we try to not say that. Right. Oh, you mean the film?
Yeah.
That he was. Oh, that's right.
I wasn't trying to tell you to get hard right now.
Well,
plug your ear holes, everyone. Ron Funches is here.
He's in the building.
Hi, Ron.
Hey.
Welcome to Tea Time.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
What do you think of our intro?
I liked it. I love the chemistry between you. It's both awkward but enjoyable.
And awkward moments build character. So we're here
that's true.
Look at us go.
I love that.
Welcome.
Yeah, and we know each other because we danced and we lip synced against each other.
We lip synced and not free float. I was about to say we freestyled, but Eminem would literally slaughter us if we said we freestyled.
Wait, what did you guys do together?
We did a lip sync battle show hosted by Method Man, one of the greatest actors and musicians of our time.
Ooh.
And then he also was hosting a show about you people who lip sync. And I really appreciated it because as soon as I came out and met him, he was like, oh, I appreciate you. Glad to have you on the show. Just to let you know, I always let the women win.
Good to know.
Oh, okay. I was like, thank you so much, Method Man.
Thank you, Method Man.
The pressure is off.
What did you lip sync?
I don't even recall.
Do you remember?
Yeah, it was like a decade ago. Wow. We were rapping back and forth. We were kind of like roasting each other back and forth as it went. And I remember because I had one of my writers from Raven's home write mine because... Mr. Funches over here is a strict comedian. He writes, he performs, and I am nowhere close to you.
Yeah, but I roasted with love, I believe.
You did a great job.
Thank you so
much. As did I. Let's talk about the... Thank you.
I knew. Wow. Yeah. You're so supportive.
Yeah, always. Blind support. I'm like, you were the best, babes.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to open up a whole can of worms. But I've seen everything now, you guys. Calm down. I've seen it all.
I just want to say, let's just get it out there.
Sure.
When I was in my room at night, Ron, when I was under the age of 13, there would only be one person I watched over and over and over again. And that was Lucille Ball. And I hear that your comedic inspiration is also the redheaded bombshell.
Yes.
What do you love about her?
What isn't there to love about
her? You're right. Moving on.
But to dig in, I mean, what you got? We got humor, of course, tremendous humor. But beyond that, style, grace, the way that she was so fashionable, the way that she was so progressive and forward-thinking, to have a show that involved her real husband, who was a Cuban during McCarthy era times in the U.S., where people would have fought against that, and she was like, no, this is what I like, and we have a chemistry with each other, and this is what will work. She started off as a dancer. People didn't even think that she could be funny, but she showed that she could be so many things, and then she went and started her own studio. She pioneered the three-camera format. A lot of people don't know that, but I'm sure you do. And then she had her own the studio, you know, and then Desilu Studios was amazing, and she greenlit Star Trek and Mission Impossible. So she did so many great things in the industry. Yes.
Wow.
We wouldn't have those shows without her. So she's beyond everything. She's a true legend in both comedy and business. And I like to be both good at comedy and business. So she's a great inspiration for me.
Wow.
I love it.
See, I feel like
white women
a lot
work
of,
sometimes.
Oh. Yeah. Sometimes we do.
She hasn't even opened her can of worms yet. Trust me, she's got some up her sleeve.
Well, I was just going to say that there are a lot of crossovers. You guys are both voice actors. You're both funny. You both have struggled with food. Talk about it, you two.
Wow.
Well, you don't even compliment sandwich. You just slide it down. You're funny. You're both good actors. And you've both been chubby. You struggle. Husky children.
Damn. Oh, babe, you're the
best. White women can be good sometimes.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong. I do actually love that question because I have struggled with my weight for a long time, and you have as well? Or was it a struggle? Was it a struggle for you?
No, yeah. I wasn't like, oh, I love not having sleep apnea.
That's fair.
This is great. I love when they come over and look at me when I'm in the line for a roller coaster.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So, yeah. No, yeah, it was a struggle. And I think a lot of people, especially, the more I travel and gotten older, naturally, it's a true, American culture thing to have, this battle between all the choices that we have, but not really any, structure about how to, eat properly or guidelines or fact that our food is often full of chemicals and poison that isn't allowed in other countries. Yeah. And so, as a kid, it would always be my mom, wow, why are you so chubby? And then we go to the park and work out, and then we go to Burger King. And of course, we can't figure this out.
I used to walk. I'd be like, I'm going on a walk, but I would walk to McDonald's, eat, and then drive back because that made sense to me. That made sense.
Thank you. Yeah.
Listen.
That doesn't.
Back in the day, anybody would come pick me up.
Got it. Okay. Just you were being driven.
Listen.
Back.
Yeah.
Different lives.
Yeah, for real. I have struggled with food my entire life and had a really, really bad binge eating disorder growing up, which I think was totally bred out of being really, really anxious, feeling very out of control in my environment, and food was my safety. It was the thing I turned to when I felt sad, happy, bored. And when you have an unbalanced or unhealthy relationship with food, I feel like it's incredibly difficult and becomes such a defining part of your life because we all have to eat to survive. And I remember someone saying to me one time that, other addicts can abstain. And you can't abstain from food. And it truly is so difficult, especially when your brain is just...
But I'm jealous of you, babes. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm jealous because, not to bring up the white women again, but y'all can get diagnosed with something. She was like, I had an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. I feel like in some cultures, you just eat too damn much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no settledness of I had an eating disorder. Did you find a word for yours or...
I think that's, I'll go back and handle both these things. They're both very well put. I think a lot of people, especially in my background with comedy and in the background of just being a black community, where it isn't given this grace. You aren't given this thing of if I'm a heroin addict, I can just quit heroin. You can't just quit food. But people treat you like that. Just don't eat it is what you always hear, And I think, and black community in general has always been underserved in any type of anxiety or mental health function. And now that I've gotten older and gone through some things where I'm learning more about, I'm going through an autism assessment and these things that just weren't handled in the black community as you're just you're just weird, you're just weird and husky and
so you know what, you're a comedian. That's how
they were
went.
Right on that regard. does everyone know there's no tea in this? It's just water.
Oh, you didn't get the flavoring. Oh, I got a couple drops of flavoring. Just sunny.
We
trash water
quickly. try and rectify that for you.
No, no. I just thought it was weird because of the name of the show, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I was expecting a chai or something.
Ooh. So how did you lose weight?
First was by restriction and just like being fear of just being like, I might die soon if I don't do this. So I was just, I had a trainer that was very helpful for me who like, just helped me with my diet and just working out twice a day. I went from, you know, especially I was coming from a lifestyle of drinking a lot of soda, you know, a lot of candy and thing, and then just cut all that off. But then would have these cheat days where I would binge and stuff and then go back. And so I was like 370 pounds at my heaviest. I got down to like 215. And then, you know, with pandemic, I went through a divorce. And then at one point I found myself back up to 275 and the same things weren't really working anymore. Luckily, going to therapy, finding a nutritionist, and then Pilates and jiu-jitsu have been my things for me to help me where I actually like to work out. It feels like it helps restructure my body. I'm not just like, and then like, I can't eat. I'm like, I love the movements of Pilates. I love the movements of jiu-jitsu. I love the strength and the confidence that jiu-jitsu gives me. And then it's helped. And then, oh, I forgot Zepbound. Now I'm also on Zepbound. So that's helpful too.
There
yeah.
you go.
I hate to not put that part in there. Yeah.
Does that help the food noise for you?
Oh my God. I couldn't believe it. I was like, is this what people who don't have, this is what people who don't deal with this, that's what they live with? Mm-hmm. It's just like, I took that first shot and was just like, oh, okay. Like, oh, I'm just done. I'm full and things are fine.
I'm so envious of you two for that.
I'm on a shot too.
I'm envious that you can have the food noise turned off, because for me, I'm not a candidate because I am slender.
Yeah.
And it's just unfortunate because I still have the food noise and it's just a battle of will. And it's just, you know, I've found other ways to kind of strategize and cope to get through my life, but it's so difficult. And I've been in therapy and talked to people, and that attempt to reframe the food noise, or, you know, I remember someone saying to me one time, imagine all the space you'd have in your brain if you weren't thinking about that. And it's very true, but if you can't turn it off, you can't turn it off. It's, it's very, very challenging to do anything like that when we're dealing with, you know, the crazy patterns of our mind.
I remember going into like coffee shops or bakeries and I'd see like some cinnamon roll or cookie and I'd be like, oh, I'm not getting it. And then my whole time I'm sitting there, I'm just like, oh man, I want the cookie. I really should. Oh God, and then by the time I leave, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go get it. I'm gonna get that cookie, you know? And it would just spend that whole time thinking about it. And then, like you said, it is a blessing. And I hope there's something else that can help you reach that, because it has been nice and helps me, you know, because I would also over smoke on weed and over indulge in other things and sex included. And I feel like the, you know, I don't think that's an advertised side effect, but I think in all regards, it's helped me manage addiction better.
That's amazing.
I love that for you.
That's such a gift.
Did your process imprint on your son?
In what regard?
You have your father making a choice to sit down and make massive changes to their life. You're showing your child commitment and the thing that you always say, consistency. Mm-hmm. Has that child come to you and ever say, hey, I want to join, or have you seen it? Because if my parents did something consistently, I probably would have a better workout lifestyle.
In some ways, yes. My oldest, you know, is on the autism spectrum as well, and he was diagnosed when he was 2, and he was nonverbal for a while. He has a little bit different level of confidence as opposed to most people. He's very much happy with himself and how he looks and how he is. And so sometimes I have to frame it so much, which I think is better. I don't ever have to be like, oh, we need to lose weight. I just be like, hey, we want to be healthy for a long time. So we got to watch a little bit on how you eat and what you're doing and the way that you will like overindulge on some things. He's found his own structure. He loves to jump on a trampoline every day. He loves to treadmill every day. And now that he's an older brother, I have another son who's 3.5 now. That's really kind of changed his mindset of like from being like I'm the kid who receives to now like he's more of a helper around the house. He's more of a good roommate and a good like human in general to be around. I imagine some of it came from me, but a lot of it is like this is who he's been. You know, a lot I've learned from him. You know, to be more accepting of myself, to be more aware of things, of traditions that we do just out of being told that they're okay, and that he like
what?
I mean, my son just never even like, I remember one time he saw some gifts around Christmas time. I think it was like the 20th or something, and he saw them up in a closet. And so I was like, oh, those aren't ready yet. We're getting ready for Christmas. Like, Santa's going to bring you some more things. And then he just looks at me and he goes, that's dumb.
It is. It is.
Yeah. And so I was like, all right, you're all right, cool. Like, that's for you. My youngest loves Santa. So it's like, and we just, you know, whatever works for, I just approach each one individually.
You've mentioned autism a few times, and you had a later in life diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. I'm going through it right now. I'm going through my assessments right now.
No, he's taking tests.
Yeah.
You're taking tests.
You can, yeah.
She took a test. She knows exactly what she's going through.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I did because Raven thought I was autistic for a really long time because of how I communicated, which was just
she a loves lot to of say that
over communicating. But I am neurodivergent. I just am not autistic, I guess. You know, there's certain things you have to tick.
There's levels to this shit.
There's levels to it. But I did it over, I think it was like 4 weeks, 5 weeks, two and a half, 3 hour sessions.
What made you go through that?
I mean, multiple reasons. I've always had issues with communicating in groups and people, the way that people view me in groups, and just the way that, like, I don't even, I either love a big, large group, like being on stage, or I like a small group. I don't like a table much bigger than this. Or I get a bit of anxiety, which might not be, I mean, that might be separate from autism. But, my son was diagnosed when he was 2, and it was something that I always recall, like taking him to OHSU up in Oregon and the different testing that we had to do and the blood testing he had to do for this 2-year-old, and we had to like hold him down and how much it was very traumatic. And so, and then I went and did the show The Traitors and just had this really hard time communicating with everyone. I imagine some of them, it was some of them, and then also, but I'm like, some of it's me. So I had to take a look, and then I saw some of my mannerisms when I was watching the show that reminded me of my older son. And then as well as I started getting a lot of messages, and they started off mean, they were more just rude. And then they started turning to like, oh man, I see, as a neurodivergent person myself, I see a lot of myself and how I deal in the workplace and how people view me, or how people think I'm not invested because I'm not a extroverted woohoo type of person. And I just kept getting a lot of messages about it, to where I was like, oh, I really should go and look into this, you know? And so it's been eye-opening for me, because similar like what you said before, I just, my whole life, I was just like, oh, I'm just one of those weird black kids, you know? So to have a thing, how I've been putting it is like, I've always felt like I've been trying to force myself into a suit that felt like a size and a half too small. And now it feels like going through this assessment, and however, wherever I'm placed, it just is giving me permission to like take that suit off and just be like, oh, I can find something that works custom for me.
I relate with you so much. Getting more clarity about myself and understanding the why behind certain things has been both, there's been like a sigh of relief, and then also this ping of sadness that I didn't know certain things sooner, because I think back on being a child and how intensely I struggled in certain things and how much I tried to fit in. And I was like, you never were going to fit in. You were so different. Like, and it's okay that you were different, but it's a shame that no one saw that and knew how to address it. And I think it's really wonderful that for your child, you guys found that soon and early, and were able to then, you know, make the accommodations and adjustments to make sure that they had the space to thrive and not feel the things that we might have felt.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree with you. Yeah, that's the struggle of going through the assessments now is that you do feel happy, but at the same time, like you said, I'm like, why? I wish I knew this before. And then you start playing out certain things that happen in your life or things where I'm like, oh, like I feel like other people might have had a clue or like used the way that I am to like take advantage of me. Mm-hmm. And going through that and it is painful sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. How was the Traitors for you on an overall?
Oh, overall, it was just a very, I call it unique. Mm-hmm. It was a unique experience. I'd never been involved in something like that, being in like the Scottish Highlands. And I like hosting. I want to host more things. And so being around Alan and see the way that he's able to command a room and command that environment was beautiful. But then it was also just a bunch of like extroverts and narcissists. And
yeah.
I'm like, that's not the vibe I'm used to. So I'm also not used to like, you know, if I need to take a break or if I need to take a moment to myself, that being used against me in a game, you know?
Yeah.
So oh, wow.
It was intense and eye-opening for me in a lot of ways, but I'm glad I did it for sure.
Had you watched the show?
I watched a bit of it, but I think like when you watch it, it's hard to, no, you can't really understand it unless you're actually like in it,
because
it's all day and it's like intense and it's over and over and you really don't know what time it is and you're isolated from your family and all that stuff. And so it's a lot more intense, but when I watched it, I was just like, oh, you don't get a game. I remember making fun of the boxer, Deontay Wilder, because he like wrongly accused a couple people and it made him so upset that he quit, and I was just like, oh, he just doesn't get it, it's a game, like nah, nah. And then I was like, oh no, I didn't get it.
Those reality TV shows, have you watched reality TV at all?
I mean occasionally, but like not since the Real World of like Puck.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God, Puck!
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Who fucks with Puck?
Who don't fuck with Puck?
Wow! Dang it! You know,
also Real World, just period,
was the shit. I was on. I was a part of the Miss Pat show, and obviously I love Tammy. And I kept looking at her, and I was like, I love you. And I was like, I couldn't connect why I loved her so much. Then she came on our podcast, and she said she was on the Real World, and my whole entire 7-year-old body dropped. I was like, that is why the Real World, for all of you new generational people,
started it all.
Them and Jerry Springer are the reason that the comment section and reality TV is actually a thing now. Oh my goodness, Puck, wow. Now I'm gonna have to go do my research. Oh my God, that was so great.
But I hadn't seen much. I hadn't seen any like Housewives or Survivor or any of the other things, but I just thought, I was like, oh, it's like a mystery game show, so like I just get to know knowing them from the past would be a detriment because I need to know who might be a murderer now. And so I was like, okay, I'm just looking for liars and inconsistency, because people who are faithful are going to be telling the truth and people who are the traitors are going to be lying. But it turned out, no, they're just bad people there who lying either way.
I'm going to tell Monet you said that.
Tell her. Tell her. Tell her. And tell her they say at the comedy clubs that she just doing fine.
Oh my God.
Just fine.
She doing fine at the clubs.
Fine.
Well, something that you and Monet kind of have in common to a certain extent is you used to work at a tax company that had you dress as a woman?
Mm-hmm. Lady Liberty, yeah.
Okay, explain.
Explain that.
Why? Oh, like you were out there dressed as the Statue of Liberty. Saying, come on in.
Come on in, waving it out, dancing, moving and grooving in my hometown.
Did you ever do the Dougie?
I think this might have been pre-Dougie.
Okay. Might have been Roger Rabbit days.
Just when you say moving and grooving, the first thing I see is Lady Liberty out there doing the Dougie. Yeah. Come on.
But it was beautiful. It was. I really think that time period, even though it was one of the lowest time periods, I obviously did it because I was poor and needed money.
Right.
And couldn't really handle like a structured job because also comedy was doing okay, but not great. But it taught me to like embrace just being fearless on stage, because I was like, oh, there's people that I went to high school with. My old ex-wife's mom would drive by and be like, oh, I can't believe this is the guy that my daughter married, you know. And so to have that go by and then still be like, oh, I'm just dancing, and then people would stop and take pictures with me. And there's a guy who like, he came to a show I did at a theater like over Christmas, and he was like, I have a picture of the two of us with you as Lady Liberty, and now I'm here at the show, and now I do comedy.
Oh, wow. I love that. Wow.
Yeah. You never know that. Who you're going to inspire.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
I just want to go back to kind of the mental health aspect for 2 seconds. I remember one time, I'm writing a book, by the way, so I can't tell the whole story.
Oh my God. I'm going to be so happy when this book is out so she can stop saying that. She says it about everything all
that's
the time.
What, yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But one of my talents is rolling a blunt. People don't know this about me.
Oh, like Flip Wilson's children.
Yeah, very much so. Very much. Yeah. And I don't do a wet blunt. Mm-hmm. I do a nice, structured, but loose.
Dry blunt?
Well, no, but, you know, when you suck on it, you don't have to light it up too much. But I've never punched a weed man before.
Okay.
Have you?
Yeah.
Why?
What a segue.
Also, funny that you take that back to mental health. You could have just said
because the last time I smoked weed, I had a mental breakdown.
Wow.
So why did you punch the weed man?
Because he was racist to the clerk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't push the weed man. I pushed the customer at the weed shop in Canada. I was there.
It
was
they sell weed in Canada?
Yeah.
At a shop?
Yeah.
When did that become legal?
A long time ago.
I'm late.
Yeah.
Okay.
She hasn't smoked weed in a while.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
She's mentally unwell. These were all her disclaimers.
She's not wrong.
Raven has no idea about
it. Hey, it's a sliding scale for you. You've been famous so long. You as sane as you could be.
As I could be. Yeah. The baseline of it all. Because, honey, I got some diagnoses beyond.
Yes.
But wait, no, go back. You're such a humanitarian.
I just
Lady
chilling,
Liberty.
I'm just relaxing, trying to buy pot in the pot store in Canada. I'm not Canadian, so at this time, and it's changed, but at that time, you'd have to go to a little sketchy little pot store that didn't care. And so I was waiting to get our pot, and then this guy comes in. He's being very aggressive and mean towards the clerks. And then eventually he said something racist towards the Asian clerk. And I was just like, oh, I guess I hate racism towards everyone. I thought it would be just a me thing, but I didn't like it towards them either. And so I got in this guy's face and was like, hey, you know, more like pick on someone your own size. Like, and I've been in a lot of fights with people who are loud and stuff. And usually there's a level of progression. And as long as you actually get into them, they kind of like back down. Mm-hmm. But so I was like, hey, what you want to do? And I expect him to be like, what you want to do? But instead, he just punched me right in the mouth.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, he skipped a lot of steps. And so then I found out that I too am crazy because I just kept coming at him until eventually he just took off on his bike and left. And my friend was like, Ron, you got to stop doing this. You're currently on an NBC show.
Oh, this was obviously before like hashtags and cancellations.
This was at the beginnings of Twitter. So,
you were safe.
Yeah.
Safe.
Yeah, I've been safe up until like now. I think since now that the traitors,
traitors.
I might not be safe
anymore. Yeah, you're not safe anymore.
Until
well,
then,
I'm really proud of you. Thank you. Thank you for sticking up for that, man. There's a couple people that need to get punched out now since the Super Bowl, but we'll call you when we find those people.
Thank you. I mean, I took the punches, but...
How truly un-Canadian, though.
Yeah, it's what I thought.
Yeah. Canadians are supposed to be so lovely.
Lay and, back like, and chill. Just this like, guy, not at all.
Poutine. And like,
weed makes you do crazy
poutine.
Things, you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
How'd you two meet? I don't know.
Oh,
can I ask you questions?
Yes!
I love it when people ask us questions. It's like, oh, the pressure's off. We met at a karaoke night. Oh. Raven was hosting this thing. We ended up talking. She said, hey, come to this party that I'm throwing because I'm moving to New York in 2 weeks. And I said, if I'm seeing you again, it's going to have to be one-on-one for a date.
Oh,
and she
structure
said, okay, fine. Yeah, nice. I like some structure.
No, I get
you,
you
know
that you unfuckboyed her. You were like, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
No, I get you. I
real
hate
quick.
A group. Yeah, I and love as, I strive in a one-on-one anyway, so like
same. Yeah,
why are we
that
grouping?
Unfucked boy me, that's crazy.
Exactly. I did actually.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong at all. She was so in that era and so just wanting to like,
and you still stayed.
Because I didn't know that you were in that era. She didn't actually, she wasn't she wasn't communicative about that. Mm-hmm. She made me feel like
fuckboy would never be.
No, sometimes you got to be.
No, I don't know. If yes. you're fuckboying correctly, you a do good, not let others know you
a
are.
A good fuckboy should say, like, I'm not looking for anything serious. Raven yeah. was like, hi, if I buy you a ticket to New York, will you come? And I was like, what? Oh, wow.
That doesn't say, babe. That to me is very that much says, like, okay.
I'm still working through a lot. Yeah,
we are. Yeah. We're still really trying to make sense of it. Yeah,
you're right. Absolutely. No. That's what I know, because I'm single dad, and it's the best, because then you just be like, look, you won't be this. Are you coming in to be a stepmom? Are we just hanging out?
Right. Exactly. Clear, transparent from the beginning. Let's go. And that was in 2015. And the rest is history. Mm. Here we are hosting a podcast together. It's been fun.
I love it.
You know, it's a journey.
It's definitely a journey. Where do you find your ladies, Ron?
The fuckboy wants to know.
Mostly overseas lately.
Really?
Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah.
Fire.
I know.
Do you any find country in particular that you like?
I'm open, but UK recently.
So, oh, yeah.
Do you find it hard to date?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Multiple reasons. I have two kids, one which is a toddler, and the other one is the full adult who's special needs. I'm a comedian. I have a full life already that I've been building, so it's hard for people to just come in and jump into it. I have this voice that some people assume that I'm gay. Also, I show empathy to others, so people think I might be gay. So it's difficult all the way around.
I can see
sometimes.
That. What is your line to catch a European female out in the street? Because I want to make sure people know that you are straight with that voice.
Yeah.
What is the line, and what is the first date romance in
I
a Ron Funches date?
I get a jacket potato.
Can we workshop that?
Not a potato.
Jacket potato.
What was the Frank Ocean meme forever? A potato flew around my room before you. Oh my God, hilarious.
Yeah, I think there's room for improvement there, Ron. Because it does sound like the beginning of a child song. Mm. So
what, the jacket potato part?
Yeah, like I feel like...
Well, we're in the UK. It's what
I know.
They like.
And I feel like a child in the UK would probably watch a show where they were like, do you want to get a jacket potato? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, mommy too. You know, I feel like that. So maybe it's like, hey, babe.
Oh, wow.
You go in that line. Hey.
That's foreign for me from the top.
Yeah, it would be for me too.
Hey, babe.
That's better.
Do you know me?
What up, babe?
Yeah. That's better. What up? Oh, but I guess you're in the UK.
Yeah. Hello, bird.
Hello. Yeah. Hey, babe.
So you're changing his accent? He's still American.
He was doing he changed his own accent.
That's true. When you're there, it just happened.
Do you
want to get a jacket potato? He didn't speak.
Yeah,
that was all Ron. I was working with what he gave me.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Gosh.
Got it. So jacket potatoes for first dates.
You could try and get more like Idris Elba with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe use that as your inspo.
Yeah.
Hijack a plane.
I met him one time and he told me I was charming. So.
See, don't change. Mm-hmm. Never change.
Because Idris Elba told him not to?
That's what I say. I agree with her on that.
No,
it helped me confidence-wise. I was like, oh, how can any girl say anything?
Look at Idris.
Oh, you like Idris, right? Well, guess who he think is charming?
Fire.
Done. Say less. Every European woman who watches this right now is coming for you. It's wonderful.
Babes, if you had to go on a first date.
If I had to? Okay, yeah.
Like, what would you set up? What would your hello line be?
I don't do hello lines. If I was setting up a first date, I'd be just like, hi, how are you? Yeah. Welcome to your first date with me.
It's gonna be fun.
I'm not smooth really like that.
No, I'm not driven smooth.
Yeah, I'm just...
I'm goofy. I just invite someone to mini golf. And then if they don't want to go mini golf, I go, okay, we wouldn't get along in any fat capacity.
There you go.
If you don't want to go mini, if you don't go, oh, that sounds fun.
Then we have nothing in common.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Because I've had people, they'd be like, oh, we could, not a dinner? I'm like, okay, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Who wants to go to boring dinner?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Me. I'm hungry.
No, you don't. I mean.
I love a dinner.
Our first date, you showed up with crayons. Like, you know.
That's the way she placed and put it in her mouth was, listen,
it was
that's not how I
it
showed up.
It was a gift
up.
And I love that, them. That they is, were egg-shaped crayons.
No, they weren't. They were rock-shaped crayons. And it was a package of things. Okay. I wasn't like, oh, crayons. I didn't do that. I showed up. We talked for a while.
I would believe you would.
I was drawing a lot at the time, and I wanted to share my artistic expression with her.
I was so touched because she showed up with this little gift bag, and I was like, wow, you thought about me. Mm. And that was so kind. And they were really cool.
Because I don't buy flyers. I don't buy flowers.
Never? No?
Now I have to because my wife says, can you buy me romantic flowers? And I'm like, ah, test. But I really don't like flowers because they die. I don't appreciate that. Mm-mm. I'm buying something that's upwards of $50 and they're gonna die in 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, let me buy you a plant.
And then I buy flowers. I think flowers are great.
What's the flower? If a woman bought you flowers, what would you
want? Oh, I don't want her to buy me flowers.
Oh, okay.
I want to buy her flowers.
What would you buy her?
It depends on what she likes. Yeah. I'm not buying flowers based off of what I like. You can't just jump in. Some women don't like roses. Some women like other flowers. So you kind of go in and see what they like. But I always love when people go like, oh, these are the best flowers that anyone's ever given me. And a lot of people have told me that. So, and that makes me feel good.
That's fantastic. Where do you go? Gelson's or Erewhon?
Empty Vase.
Nice.
Oh, he goes to a real flower shop. I need to step this up real quick. Yeah. Give me that one.
She's taking notes.
I'm like, I go to Ralph's.
No, you go to Trader Joe's, actually. And Trader Joe's has some beautiful
good flowers.
I mean, it's different when you're just bringing flowers into the house to brighten up a room versus, of course.
Then I just go to the Studio City Farmers Market.
Yeah. Oh, we be there all the time.
We love it.
I see you there on a Sunday then.
Okay, fire. Gosh. Nobody asked me what I would say on my first date.
I did, actually. I mean, I tried and then it got lost. So say it now.
Okay. First, I find something. This is going to sound weird, but just hear me out. I find something just a little off about them.
Okay.
Meaning if their hair is out of place or their outfit is a little, I'm like, here, let me fix that for you.
And oh, you come in with a little neg.
You know what I mean? Hey, let me get that for you. Okay. What you doing? How you doing?
I'm good.
That's how? He gets it, though. He felt it, though. He felt it.
Yeah, you feel
and
it.
And we're done. End of day number three has happened.
Raven's voice also, you have such... She has such obvious tells when she's like trying to
calm down.
Yeah, there's a range. Yeah, it goes
yeah.
Down
she has
to
the
range
exactly. Yeah, like,
well, as a good lesbian, you got to make sure you play offenses.
And it's so funny because for me, sometimes I'll hear her get on the phone and she'll go into that deep. And I'm like, who the hell is she talking to? Because she'll get, hey, how are you? I'm like, what is that? Who is that?
That's my voice.
And then I hear some person and I'm like, oh my God, okay. That's interesting. Curious. Curiouser and curiouser.
What are you watching on TV?
I'm usually in general watching old wrestling from the late 90s that is being commentated by Dusty Rhodes. That's what I usually am watching. Am I watching anything currently? I don't think I am watching.
So since you're watching wrestling, you're watching the WWF or the WWE?
I'm watching WCW, which is a defunct wrestling company from the past, from that was a little bit more Southern.
Yes,
but now they're owned by the WWE.
Mm. I used to love the guy with the long
Stone
hair.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's the exact opposite. Okay. That's who I love. I met him. He did my podcast once. He showed up in a Ford Fiesta.
Wow.
Wow, he fits in that?
He did.
Wow.
I thought it was very, I was like, ooh, how charming.
He was charming. Like the only wrestler that I ever really like.
The Undertaker.
Yeah,
everyone loves the Undertaker.
You love the Undertaker. I love the Undertaker. I loved Raven because there was a guy named Raven too. And my brother loved Foley.
McFoley. Yeah.
Did you like Hulk Hogan or The Rock?
In the past, I liked Hulk Hogan, but then he turned against us.
Yeah, he did.
He really did. Have you ever watched The Simple Life?
With the ladies? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have in the past. Yeah.
And is it true that you would do a reboot of The Simple Life?
With Rob from the show.
Yes.
Yeah, I would love that.
Really?
I think that would be really fun. I think it's a good idea.
I think it's a great idea. You guys were quite a pair. Mm-hmm. You became good friends, huh?
Yeah, he's a good guy. And I like that he's a real genuine guy. Mm-hmm. And that we've got to play a lot of chess together and talk. And that we have some similar backgrounds with our families and just how we view things. And how people underestimate and view us. So it's been cool to watch him be so beloved and to kind of take over that show and be such a good trader. And then, it was my favorite part of being on that show was just kind of like chilling and talking with him.
You had a bromance.
I'll take that. I believe in friendships of men in any way. You don't. Yeah. When they say bromance, I always feel like they say that men, they're like, oh, a man can't just be friends. Like, you know, not to under. And also, you can have a bromance, but then we would be making out and fucking.
Listen, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Nothing wrong with that.
We have some traitor related. Fan questions. Mm-hmm. Are you down for them?
Sure.
The fans wrote in.
They
want to know.
They want to know things. One fan has asked, what's one thing the show taught you about yourself that you're grateful for?
I mean, it taught me about my being neurodivergent.
Life changing.
And it taught me that I don't switch up like no matter what, no matter for like money, no matter if there's peer pressure, no matter if there's cameras on me, I stay myself. And I like that about me. I like that there was a lot of pressure put on me to kind of like what I would call lower myself and be like, please love me. Please. Okay, I'll switch and change up so that you guys will think that I'm not a traitor. And I just was like, no, if you guys can't figure it out, if you guys are like not smart enough in this game, I'm not gonna like beg you to switch up because that's gonna be against my character. Yeah. And I love that there's just something in me that is like this switch that will be like, no, like we don't switch up for anybody.
I love that. What was the biggest I told you so moment for you watching the episodes back?
I mean, just seeing when I got to tell them I was a faithful and say it in their face, I thought like that, and just being like, and then also seeing that the people did hear it and could see it when Portia said that she was a traitor, and that again was mentally weird for me, and I guess learn more about being neurodivergent because I think words are in my job. Words are just really important to me. So when they were like, you're a faithful, like to me that meant something. And so to see the other people lie, or even like watching it back and see like people try to team up with traitors, I'm like, what is this? Like, yeah. I don't, okay, maybe I just don't get this game, but I thought we were just supposed to find traitors. So I don't know. Did I answer that?
Yes, you answered it fantastically.
And I think our last fan question was a video submission. Okay, where are we looking up here? A super fan.
What's up, Ron? Big fan here. Wondering, if you weren't doing comedy or voice acting or acting, what do you think your job would be?
You got Rob to call in.
Yeah, what a cutie.
He's such a cutie. I love that guy. Oh, my God.
He's super cute. He's on a farm somewhere?
Yeah, he's probably in Alabama somewhere riding around doing snake stuff. He loves doing snake stuff.
That's crazy.
I'm surprised he has a shirt on.
Hilarious.
How unfortunate. Usually it's off. He knows what it looks like when it's off.
I know. He's the in-shape Bert Kreischer is what I call him. I'm glad you like that one.
That was good. I really like that one.
If I wasn't a comedian, I just think my mom and my sister work in healthcare. We've always kind of just been like caregivers and givers in that way. So maybe I would have worked in that field. I wanted to be a pro wrestler. That was the only other thing I wanted to be was a pro wrestler. So those were two things that in my life. And then I ended up doing a match a couple years ago and had a lot of fun. And it helped me learn a lot about comedy and acting and like being able to manipulate an audience besides more than laughter, which I really enjoy. So either a doctor or a pro wrestler or a pro wrestling doctor.
Listen,
there you go.
This is America. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can do whatever.
You gotta have two jobs.
A doctor who wrestles. I love it. Okay, Ron. So we, on Tea Time, go into this teapot.
Okay.
And we pull out a topic.
I thought that was just a prop.
I know you did.
Surprise! We don't serve you tea, but you do have to. There is a pot here.
Okay.
You are going to open the lid. Okay. Dig inside.
Put my hand in.
There's so many options.
Good job. Find the one that speaks to you most.
And hold.
And now tell us.
Okay.
What does it say?
It says dinner parties.
Ooh. I love a dinner party.
Who would you have at your dinner party, Ron?
Who would I have at my dinner party? Is this like living and or dead thing? Or
yes, living or dead.
Well, okay, Raven wants to go living or dead.
I want to do living and dead, babes.
Okay, living and dead.
All right. It seemed like you got some ready.
I'm ready. Oh, yeah.
You go first, then.
Okay, okay. Napoleon Bonaparte.
Okay.
Definitely. Lucille Ball, for sure.
Okay.
Michael Jackson, hell yes. And then I would probably choose Bill Clinton, don't ask me why, and Obama. And then my last one at the party would be Jenna Jameson.
Wow. That's a fun party.
Yeah, it
is.
That's
really interesting. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
What about you?
What? Why? Keep going. What's your name?
That's just an interesting group, babe.
It is.
No, you go next.
Okay, I'll go next. you're really forceful. I would have my mom, first and foremost. She is a great party guest. Whenever I have her host a party, she kind of becomes the de facto host and is the one that is greeting everyone, and everybody enjoys being around her. Mm-hmm. So I'd have my mom there. I'd probably have Prince there, because that would be fun, and then he would probably be doing fun stuff.
Yes, musically. He would.
That would be good. Lucille Ball would also be a guest that I would enjoy. Langston Hughes, my favorite poet and one of my favorite authors of all time, so I would think it would be cool to have him and have this Harlem Renaissance type thing going on. And then
Langston spitting underneath on top of Prince would be crazy.
That would be wild. And probably Chris Rock. I've only met him in passing once or twice, but he's been a big influence in my career comedically. You know, just grew up watching his work and watching a lot of his VHSs. And so to just kind of pick his brain about comedy would be tremendous to me. And then I'll take three other porn stars that weren't Jenna Jameson.
They're needed.
Yeah.
They're needed, babes. What porn star are you bringing to the party?
Okay.
If she names one, I'm shitting myself.
I'd bring Martin Luther King.
Wow.
Not a porn star.
Because he wants the white women. Okay. I was hanging there. I could not do it.
She just gave it to you. She was like... God, that was good.
Okay.
Martin Luther King. We Shall Overcome.
Jesus.
Wow, babe.
Jennifer Lopez.
Wow.
Wow.
Babe. Wow.
Jack Black.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I really... Cherry?
The actress?
The porn star?
Okay.
Who is that?
I don't know.
She just wanted to pick
one.
She just
chose a name out of nowhere.
It. Yeah, let her have it.
Let me see what year Cherry was in.
Also, I love this party so far because to me, it's just like Martin Luther King in the corner going, who the fuck are all these people?
Yep.
Did I let these people go?
Oh, my God. I didn't say Harriet Tubman.
I know, but I mean, it's the same.
God. Maybe Harriet Tubman, too. And then I'd have to invite Bob the drag queen because he would for sure want to chill with Harriet. I do like to think about like who's hanging with who, you know?
Like a porn star hanging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Cherry and J-Lo will talk. And then I have Jesus and Martin Luther King working it out. They got beef
and they got to work it out.
Well, this is an interesting... And then Jack Black is talking to me. And there, I would maybe like have Jay-Z come through. Why not? Yeah. Martha Stewart, for sure.
Nobody invited Tupac, and it's a shame. Should I invite him?
I would invite Biggie because we have the same name.
And I would invite Tupac.
No, there you go. And we're
married. You got Nipsey, right?
No, sure.
Okay, cool.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Good job. I think that's like great. What are we serving all these people is the real question.
Do you cook at your dinner parties?
No.
No?
No, never.
Okay. Always.
That would be terrible.
Takeout? Catered?
Yeah, usually catered. Usually something. I have a vision board party every year, and we usually get this Indian food from this place called Anbara or something like that. And it's great because it's healthy-ish, but filling and then fun. People could eat it while they're working on their crafts and doing their boards.
Oh, I loved a crafts vision party.
Yeah, she loves a vision board.
You can come.
Thank you. We'll be reinvited.
Yeah.
So if you were invited to a potluck and you had to bring a dish, what would you be bringing?
It depends on the time of year. What time of year is it?
It's September.
It's September. Oh, wow. That's Jesus. Crazy. Right in the cuff.
Yeah. Exactly. We want to get to know you.
Yeah, we're making this.
It's not summery, nor is it winter.
No. No. Offer space
it's
for this.
September. Where you're not supposed to be having potlucks or
dinner. Yeah, no, this is a terrible
it's
time
horrible.
For
she's,
a potluck.
She's a Leo.
I'm going to go. I'm going to say, if it's summer, I'm going to bring a potato salad.
Okay.
If it's fall or winter, I'm going to bring a baked macaroni and cheese.
Delicious.
Those are my two specialties.
Both of those work in September.
Yeah, that's why it was difficult.
Babes, what are you bringing in summer, winter, and September?
Got it. I'm always bringing a sweet treat.
Mm-hmm.
I will bake something. So I'm bringing cookies. I'm bringing a cake. I'm bringing some.
Yeah, but you're just telling me vagaties. What type of cookies? What type of cake?
Well done. Okay. Well done, Ron.
I would do probably a chocolate chip walnut cookie, or I would do a peanut butter if people didn't have nut allergies. Mm. I guess I would kill the walnuts if people had nut allergies. I really want to do a peach cobbler for some reason. So that's my summer thing. I would do peach cobbler. I'd make madeleines, and Raven really loves those. So I would also maybe do that. And she likes some lemon poppy seed. So I could do a lemon poppy seed madeleine. Oh, and I've been really into making chocolates, and there's a bark that I make that Raven really loves.
So and my mama loves too.
Yep, so I could make a bark and bring that. I also did Dubai. You know the Dubai chocolate?
Yeah,
place?
I don't care for it. I don't. I think it's a fad, and I don't like it. It's like when things coming in. Like, I mean, I love the recent fad of yuzu.
Yuzu's
tremendous,
delicious.
Tremendous. Look, keep it around forever.
I agree.
Dubai
with you.
Dubai chocolate out here, and you, the consistency and what is and what isn't Dubai chocolate is all over the place. And then now it's led to the cotton candy floss chocolates, and I hate
it's
it all.
Much.
It's terrible.
Oh, I agree with you.
However,
but
my wife makes a really good Dubai chocolate date where she opens a date, puts the kefta and the
that makes
the
sense.
Stuff inside and then covers
I'm
it in chocolate.
That you might be more into. I am totally on your page, though. I don't love a trend, and we don't really love a food trend, but this works. It's simple. It started with kind of the Snickers date.
Yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my wheelhouse. But I can also go savory, but we don't have enough time. Babes?
Yeah.
What are you bringing in winter?
Thought you'd never ask.
Winter, summer, or September?
So in summertime, I'm going to bring amazing salad, chopped salad full of fermented vegetables, my own homemade salad dressing, and probably a beautiful focaccia.
Mm.
That's what's happening in the summertime realm.
This is a homemade focaccia, or this is a purchased focaccia?
I would try to do a homemade focaccia. I've never done it before, but I've been watching a lot, and I would try it. I would, and if it wasn't good, I'd be like, toast that shit, and it's a crouton. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's winter. I mean, that's summer. Winter, I'm going to bring a pasta. I would ask my wife to make either.
Her tomato sauce or.
The tomato sauce or limna and peas to pasta.
Which is also very summery.
It is.
I love a summer pasta.
But I'd make it with bacon and shrimp so that it was like kind of heavy. And then for September, I'm going to make sandwiches. I'm going to make a Thanksgiving sandwich in September.
Oh.
And it's going to be and delicious.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I love that.
There you go. That's
I'm hungry now.
Delicious thing. I know.
A little lunch.
Do either of you have a memory of being at a dinner party and there was just a very weird conversation and you were like, this is not it?
Yeah, it was me at a dinner party. I was the one as the weirdo in the corner.
What dinner party were you at?
Can't say. I was at a dinner party and I was high. And I was on the wall like Britney
Spears?
No. Shit. What's her name? She's no longer with us.
Oh, Murphy? Britney Murphy?
I was like Britney Murphy in that.
Don't say a word?
I was like this.
That's crazy. You're like tracing numbers.
You guys, I was tracing numbers on the wall. So, you know, that was me.
Got it. So you were just the weirdest thing at the dinner party.
Can you imagine that, Ron?
I can.
That's what I did.
Yeah, what color were your braids?
Well, I had one braid, one weave.
Oh, my God, babe.
My glasses were crooked. I was like, not normal.
Well. Unwell.
Yeah. George Clinton had nothing on me that night. I was looking all kinds of crazy. Oh, I love you, George, and I love your hair. What about you,
sir? Not that I can think of. A couple of weddings that I went to. I went to a wedding that was really fun where the mother of the bride just went off on this tangent about her life and how she never wanted to really have a daughter, and she was a party mom and all this other stuff she had going on. And so it went and it went and it went, and then she was happy about the new that she had the husband because he's rich. It was wild and fun and amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And was the best speech I'd ever saw at a wedding.
Wow.
It's fire.
That's amazing.
Babes?
I don't really know, to be 100. I don't think I've ever been to a dinner party where I'm like, this is the weirdest conversation I've ever heard, because most weird conversations to me, I'm just like, oh, cool. I'm not thrown by much. Mm. So if people are talking about things that one might feel are inappropriate or bizarre when people get really drunk and start just saying crazy things. I mean, I did have someone over for dinner once get really, really drunk. She was an adult. I was a child. She got very, very drunk and started crawling around our living room and then found her purse. She was by the front door and flipped it upside down, and all the contents of her purse spilled out. And then she started crying hysterically. And I remember thinking, this is why I never will drink. Mm. But other than that.
Yeah, that sounds like more of a childhood trauma than a fun dinner party story. Yeah.
Dinner parties for me is also kind of a release, even though it can cause a lot of stress to gather up the contents and to cook and to invite. But when it's happening, I feel like it is one of the best ways of curating social interaction that doesn't overwhelm at the end of the day, as long as you like control the party.
Yeah, once everybody's got set out.
Yeah, I mean,
like, you like hosting more than being a guest?
Oh my God, I love hosting, because when you're hosting, you guys, I used to throw a lot of parties at my old house, but I would do it so that people would bring bottles, and then I would keep the bottles, and then I just have like a surplus of liquor at my house, and I didn't have to pay for it. But whatever. One of my favorite things about hosting is you never really have to sit down, because you always have something to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And everyone else has to kind of talk, and my wife is good for this. Like, for Christmas, we had people over. I don't think she sat down at the table once, because she was always doing something.
And then you were pissed.
Yeah, because it's Christmas. Come sit your ass down. But at the same time, I understood it, because if my mama wasn't there, I'd have been standing up washing dishes when the dishes were already cleaned three times. You know what I mean? Like, I would have done it. So,
yeah. I like hosting just to, also like providing and just being there for people. Like, I love to host Thanksgiving. That's my favorite thing to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It came from a time when I was at my lowest, and I went to, I didn't have a place to live at the time. I was going through my first divorce, and I was staying with people, and they were having their Thanksgiving. And I always remember this day how it made me feel, because this guy was like, okay, we're going to have Thanksgiving. And then, we might go back for seconds, but when we're done, then you can go and get something. And I was like, what? I was like,
that's weird.
This is the weirdest thing I'd ever heard from anyone. And I was like, oh, I'm not hungry. I'm fine. I don't need anything.
Wait, you were staying at these people's homes, but they didn't let you participate in Thanksgiving until after they've gotten seconds?
Yeah.
Were they white?
Yeah, you know they were white.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
Yeah,
absolutely.
In the South, right?
Yeah. No, it was Oregon.
Oh, what? That definitely doesn't make sense.
Just weird behavior, but it always, it stuck with me, where I'm like, I don't ever make anyone feel how I felt unwanted there, you know? And so whenever I host now, we always have such a overdo it. So my mom's like, let people bring stuff.
I had to learn that too. I'm like, y'all better bring something, but you're going to leave it here. You've said a lot of times that you've had your lowest. Your life's been a roller coaster, huh?
Yeah. It's always a cycle. When isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
You're amazing for that. No, you're amazing for that. You're still smiling. You know, there's some people, I have chips on my shoulders for all my low points, and I hold it like a little grudge and a little monster, but you're sitting here smiling and moving forward and providing joy for so many people. I think that's beautiful, and it really does show that, like, low points build character. They give you ambition. You know good and well, and I know good and well, when you're at your lowest, sometimes you can't see the light.
Mm-hmm.
What kept you going?
I mean, a mixture of things. Just my kids, the fact that I had a son by the time I was 20. So there were, even when I was my lowest, I was like, I got to do something. We got to figure it out for him. And then there's been times where I feel like I made mistakes that jeopardize what I built for him. And that I have to be like, oh, we still have time and we can still keep going. And there's always lessons to be learned. Belief in myself that's been put in me. I don't have what I would call a high ego, but I would think I'm a firm believer, like, I'm not better than anyone else, but nobody's better than me. So, like, I'm just plug away. I've been doing comedy for 20 years now. I know I'm good at it. I've gotten great feedback from legends, from people who I love and enjoy. Yeah, from Idris to Wanda Sykes to Dave Chappelle to Kevin Hart to people who, to Cat Williams, to, like, the people who hate each other, all like me.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They all see and respect what I do. And so it keeps me going. The people who don't respect what I do tend to not have a knowledge in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's just random people online who are like, oh, you suck, or this or that, or random people from reality shows who don't know who I am, or don't know that their kids have been watching me for a decade, or, you know, they don't get it. And I don't advertise it, you know, because I'm confident in what I am. And I just, to me, these are just jobs and notches in my thing that you... a firm believer. There's this rapper named Don Tripp where this line always sticks with me, where he's just like, I carved my failures in sand and my successes in stone. And so I'm just like, you know, that didn't work out, and that's fine. I keep going. That did work out. I can have that as a monument of, like, I can accomplish something, but then I just keep moving.
Yeah, you know? It's beautiful.
It's a really healthy perspective. And I want justice for Ron.
RonPunches.com. Goodbye, and please help me keep funding stuff.
Especially from that, I got all stuck in my brain with that Oregon family, that white Oregon family that wouldn't, that messed my head up.
She's perturbed right now.
Yeah, that's horrible. And then I just had this whole, like, filtering in my head of just all the times in your life that people were mean to you or judged you because they didn't understand your differences. And I hate that. I'm very empathetic, and
Do you talk about them on the stage?
In your comedy?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, more and more lately as I've been more aware of it. But it's enjoyable, and I've been, tarot readings have been a big part of my life in the past and stuff. And is what got me into comedy was a tarot reading where someone was like, you want to do comedy? Get into it. You're just waiting for it. You need to get going. And then that turned out to be very helpful. And then I was just walking by. I was at some anime convention in Anaheim, California with two of my friends.
Shout out.
And they had some tarot readers there, and a guy just, like, left his booth, came over to me and was like, look, I don't even, like, you don't have to pay me or nothing, but, like, I can see you from a mile away. He's like, you have a tremendous aura. You are so, such a, like, helper. And you've been taken advantage of, and people have tried to push you down, and people have tried to do these and make you question yourself. And he's like, but you're still here, and I'm gonna let you know that he's like, that part's coming to an end. And I was like, oh my God.
That's beautiful.
It was so beautiful.
That's consistency. You know, there's a lot of people who give up after the first no, but the industry that we're in / life in general, really, if you look at it on a macro level, you just have to keep going. Mm-hmm. You'll get a yes eventually. I think a lot of people, especially that try and think that their dream is one thing, and sometimes the universe has different plans for you. Mm-hmm. And just because you don't get exactly what you want doesn't mean that what you need isn't coming later.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a beautiful way of just saying, hey, you got to keep going. Just mm-hmm. keep going. Keep following your dreams. And sometimes that dream is manipulated into something different.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, to go exactly what you said, if someone's at their lowest and it isn't comedy-based, entertainment-based, or anything like that, like, I just say to you, there's been plenty of times where I've been at my lowest and the dramatic difference that 1 year can make in the way that my life has changed from 1 year to the next, in both good ways and bad ways. But like, you can be at your lowest 1 year and then have a beautiful life the next year. Yeah. And if you are at your lowest and you're like, you don't see a way out from it, I mean, and a lot of times people are like, oh, get better. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it gets better, but it gets different. Mm. And sometimes that's enough, and you can learn to live within that difference and live within the time period. Like, the longer you go through it, the easier it gets for you. And mm-hmm. so you just, again, things change dramatically. As long as you're putting in the effort, the universe tends to meet you halfway.
Yeah, I believe the universe is always conspiring in our favors as long as we just continue to stay to our path and trust that in time.
Yeah, it's hard to believe sometimes.
It really is. And I get that. That's why you have to have that little bit of hope or faith that you can maintain to just or trust, you know. Mm-hmm. But it is really difficult. We've all been there.
This is the kind of conversation that I like to have at my dinner parties.
Ooh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, these are the deeper ones. By the end of the night, the wine is already done. No one's going back to the liquor store. People need to put on their shoes to leave. Like, I love to just sit down and have those kind of conversations, because mm-hmm. then I feel like the people that I brought over the house or the person that we invited on tea time today is connected to us in a really, really cool way. Thank you so much.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
Let's toast.
Let's toast it.
Toast.
Ting, ting.
Ting, 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 ting. We always toast at a dinner party. Today on the podcast, we are toasting to Jack and Violet.
What up, Jack and Violet?
Hi, Jack. Hi, Violet.
A traveler named Jack gave up his first-class seat on a Virgin Atlantic flight from New York to an 88-year-old woman he just met at the airport. Violet, a retired nurse, was flying economy after visiting her daughter. She mentioned to Jack that she'd always wanted to sit in the front of the plane but never had. He didn't think about it long. He offered his seat. For Violet, it turned a lifelong dream into something real. For Jack, it meant spending the flight in economy. He did it anyway.
I'm skeptical.
Yeah, that's difficult.
You're skeptical of this actually happening?
No.
Having happened?
I think Violet tricked him.
You think that she...
I think...
She's done been on first class flights that all her life, and this is what she does.
Yeah, there you go. That's her
how
tactic.
She upgrades. I'm a little old lady.
What's it like up there?
Yeah, there you go.
You guys have some bread? I don't know about that, Violet.
You don't think so?
What they got today, the meatballs or the Shake Shack?
Violet, you know what's going on up there.
So, babes, what I'm hearing is you would never give up your first class ticket to an old lady?
It depends on who that old lady is. Mm-hmm. If it's my mama, no. If it's... if it's my mama, no. If it's... Who would I give up my first class seat for? Why don't somebody else go first while I think about
it? Yeah, that's a hard one. If it's coast, you're talking about East Coast to West Coast.
And did I buy the ticket? Now, if a company bought it, I'll give it up.
Yeah, that's different.
But did I buy it?
Yeah.
I'm going to be the biggest asshole. I'm never giving up my ticket. Ever. And here's what I'm going to tell you about me. I'm an anxious traveler. So if I am sitting first class, which doesn't happen often at all, it will only happen if a company is buying a ticket.
Yeah, I don't buy first class.
I'm taking that, because that's a little bit of like, really, even though it doesn't make sense necessarily, because if something happens to a plane, it doesn't matter where you're sitting, mm-hmm. everyone's impacted. But for me, there is this peace of mind of just, there's a little bit more ease, a little bit more comfort during the flight. I'm sticking to my seat. It would have to be a situation where I gave up my seat to someone else and then got rebooked on another flight in that same, because that person was like, you know, had some dire situation. Let's say they had to get on a plane to do, and then I was like, okay, fine, you take that, but they rebook me on the next flight on the same seat situation.
Same cabin, yeah.
That's the only way that's happening.
Ron?
I hate to, I'm I travel so much. I travel 3 weekends a month usually. Mm-hmm. And so for business, my regular life, I would fly economy, but for usually business, I always fly first class just because it's so often and so long for me. So I would have a hard time finding anyone to give it up to, unless my seatmate was a child. And then their parent was in economy, the child sitting in front class for some reason on their
scam.
Own. It is a
that
scam.
Is a that scam. Would be a scam.
And I'd be like, scam. I'm good. I can. You did I can, that on purpose. I can watch your child. Don't, that is such
but
a scam.
I wouldn't want to
oh
watch
God.
That child. I would rather probably sit in comedy than watch. I mean, I love watching my kids, but watching someone else's.
Yeah,
kids,
no. I'd be like, it's fine. I'll give them cookies and an
iPad.
Oh,
that's a good scam.
It's a good scam.
She's going to start getting kids. But you still have to buy a ticket.
Now you only get to buy one, though.
Yeah.
On Alaska, it's looks just like regular.
It's like a quilt. There's just a quilt up there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're just first class is not. There. It's just you're literally just in the front of the plane in the same
and then
seat.
The food's garbage. It's,
Yeah.
And your little spinach empanadas.
Right. That they don't even heat up.
No.
Yeah, I know. Okay, babes.
If I had to give up my seat to anybody, it would be. A marshal. Mm. It would be someone to protect the plane because there's something going on and I need to make sure that he's in the front. They are in the front. That's the only way. Anybody else?
That sounds like a quick trade-off in the air when you just have to move real quick so they can handle business in the front.
Period.
I said, I'm not buying first class. It's expensive. Mm-hmm. Out that ass, and I'm not about it. Somebody else better pay for me.
Expensive out that ass. Idris Elba flew first class on a plane that we watched.
That got hijacked?
Yeah, he did. Mm.
Ron, thank you so much for joining us here at Tea Time.
A real pleasure.
Thank you.
It was fun. You guys are fun and cute.
I guess we're toasting
it's fun
again.
Being around. Yeah, we already did this one. I'll do it again. I don't mind.
Raven said, let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
We did it again. Ron, tell us where we can find you.
Oh, if you want to come see me, I'm probably coming to your town. I'm announcing a bunch of new dates in the next week or so. So go to ronfunches.com and I'll probably come to your city. Come give me a hug and come see me. Other than that, you can find me on Ron Funch at Instagram and then Ron Funches on TikTok. Ooh. Or just Ron Funches on YouTube as well.
Ron Funches everywhere.
Pretty much.
There you go. Thank you for being here today,
Thank
Ron.
You for having me.
It's such
pleasure.
A great time. You guys, did you guys enjoy this episode? Did you enjoy it? Because we enjoy talking to you. We enjoy talking to Ron. And we love it when you guys ask us questions and, you know, tap, tap, tap on the keyboard down there in the comments. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and hit that bell for notifications. Thank you so much
And
for
let
watching.
Us know who you'd invite to your dinner party, dead or alive.
Ooh, call to action.
Yeah. We were
call
told to do
action.
That. By the
Apparently
algorithm.
It helps with subscriber retention.
So call to this action. Oh, thank you so much. See you guys next week. Bye.